Oxfam Aotearoa recently released a new report, The Hunger Virus 2.0. I talked to Oxfam, Dr. Joe Spratt, about what new insights this report reveals about world hunger.
We know that conflict and the climate crises are causing deaths from hunger at devastating rates, but what new insights did this report reveal about world hunger?
So what the report shows is that we have 20 million more people across the world facing hunger than we did a year ago, and this highlights the impact of conflict, as you said, but also the coronavirus pandemic and the ongoing impact from climate change. We also showed that over the last year, the 10 richest men on Earth earned an extra $413 billion, which is enough to fund the humanitarian needs across the world 11 times over. So we can see here the massive disparities and the severe crisis where people just can't get food to eat, and that's the most basic need is food, and we can all understand what it might be like to be feeling hungry all day long and not be able to feed your children. And we can see how governments have risen to the challenge to try and stop the coronavirus, and we're asking governments to work on stopping the hunger virus, or hunger and malnutrition across the world too.
Oxfam calculated that as many as 11 people are likely dying of hunger and malnutrition each minute, which I really want to highlight that statistic. That is just devastating. And that that passes the current global death rate of COVID-19. So how can governments support the work that organisations like Oxfam are doing to address this?
Yeah, I think, Jessica, it's well worth dwelling on that number for a second. And you just think that in the time we're talking, which might be 2 or 3 minutes, 20 or 30 people have died just because they haven't got enough food. So governments can step up and do many things. The United Nations has a humanitarian appeal running, or several appeals are running across the world, and governments, wealthy governments like New Zealand, can give more money to those. They can also make sure that they invest in social safety nets. In New Zealand, we have a social welfare system, but most countries across the world have nothing like that. So when people had to go into lockdown for coronavirus, lost their jobs and had to leave their crops on the vine to die, there was nothing there to help them in terms of food and income to get food. There's nothing from the government. So governments across the world can invest in safety nets and social protection systems. Also, we need to take more and more action, as we've been talking about a lot in New Zealand, to stop climate change and the impact that that has. And we feel the impact here and the severe weather patterns we're getting now, but farmers across the world lose their crops, which is what they survive on and their families survive on, because of climate change. So here in New Zealand, we can do a bit by getting our carbon emissions down as quickly as possible. And actually, Oxfam New Zealand at the moment has a petition running to ask our government to support farmers. Large-scale industrial agriculture in New Zealand contributes about 48% of our emissions, and we really need farmers to be supported to transition to more sustainable farming to get climate change under control.
And has this report revealed any new insights about the impact that climate breakdown has had on our neighbours in the Pacific?
The report doesn't focus particularly on the Pacific, but we know that across the Pacific, in some countries like Papua New Guinea, there are already extremely high rates of childhood stunting, and that's because children don't have enough of the balanced diet to eat, and that has a big impact on their education. But we also know that because of climate change, in some places there's more rain, and so root crops rot in the ground. In other places there's not enough rain, so their crops die from drought and people don't get food. I think it's important to highlight that in countries like Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands and across the Pacific, many of the people survive on subsistence farming, so they basically grow the food they need to eat. So when they can't grow their food because of climate change, then they don't get enough to eat. So we're certainly going to be seeing more and more of this across the Pacific as climate change continues. And then there's also the severe weather events like Cyclone Pam and Cyclone Winston that we will all remember, that just entirely wipe out people's crops from daily paychecks. And so if they don't get income one day, then they don't get any food that day either.
Has there been any ways that people have been able to adapt?
I think people are everywhere extremely resilient, and they're certainly adapting. I mean, in conflict, it's very hard for families to try and get food, but they do what they can to protect their children. And because of climate change, people are adapting a lot. They're moving, they're changing their cropping practices, they're drawing on traditional knowledge to try and figure out how best to grow their crops. And coronavirus, again, people are just extremely resilient and adaptive, and they share and pool money and help each other out. So people are doing their best to survive, but there's only so much individuals can do, and we really do need large-scale government assistance to help huge populations of people in significant ways.
And the number of global deaths from COVID-19 has now passed 4 million. What mistakes were made that we can learn from?
I think many countries didn't lock down early enough and weren't quick enough to respond. I think there are structures in place that were in place before the coronavirus pandemic that have made it worse. So things like not having enough good access to good health systems that are functioning, not investing enough in those, as I've said before, not having social safety nets in place that can help people when they're going through a hard time. The intellectual property regime globally hasn't been working very well because it's meant that people haven't been able to get the vaccine, so we need to make changes there. So there's quite a few different things that are already in place that just perpetuate inequality and discrimination across the world that we need to be fixing now, taking the lessons of coronavirus and saying, look, we need functioning health systems. We need to make sure everybody can get a vaccine as quickly as possible. We need to make sure that everybody has a social safety net so that when something goes wrong, they get some help. And governments can invest in those things now so that when we do have another pandemic or when we do, when the impacts of climate change get worse, then we have some systems and structures in place to support people in better ways.
That was Dr. Jo Spratt of Oxfam Aotearoa on their new report, The Hunger Virus 2.0.